I pushed back the covers and tried to get up. I was still weak. No amount of magical healing could fix that. But I was stronger than I had been, a clear sign of improvement. It took me 2 tries to stand, but when I did not sway. As quickly as I could, I changed out of the nightgown and into the clothes he'd given me. A blouse and an elegantly long skirt, much more my usual style than the shapeless light clothing. They fit perfectly, even the shoes. There was also a sling for my arm, which eased the lingering pain greatly once I worked out how to put it on. "Ready?" he asked, then took my arm before I had a chance to answer. "Come then." We left the room and walked through long, curving corridors, and I could see all of it. The graceful walls, the arched ceiling, the mirror-smooth floor. As we mounted a set of shallow, wide stairs, I slowed, figuring out by trial and error how to gauge height using just my eyes and not a walking stick. Once I mastered the technique, I found that I didn't need Hado's hand on my arm to guide me. Eventually, I shook him off entirely, reveling in the novelty of making my way unassisted. All my life, I had heard arcane terms like depth perception and panorama, yet never fully understood. Now I felt like a seeing person, or how I had always imagined they must feel. I could see everything, except for the man-shaped shadow that was Hado at my side and the occasional shadows of other people passing by, most of them moving briskly and not speaking. I stared at them shamelessly, even when the shadows turned their heads to stare back. Then a woman passed close to us. I got a good look at her forehead and stopped in my tracks. An Aramary blood sigil. Not the same as Saruman's, this had a different shape, its meaning a mystery to me. The servants of the Aramary were rumored to be Aramary themselves, just more distantly related. All marked, though, in some esoteric way that only other family members might understand. Hado paused as well. "What is it?" Compelled by a growing suspicion, I turned away from him and went to one of the walls, touching the green patch there. It was rough under my fingers, scratchy and hard. I leaned close, sniffed. The scent was faint but unmistakably familiar, the sweet living wood of the World Tree. I was in Sky, the Aramary's magical palace. This was Sky. Hado came up behind me. But this time he said nothing, just let me absorb the truth. And at last, I did understand. The Aramary had been watching the new lights, perhaps because of Saruman's involvement, or perhaps realizing that they were the most likely of the heretic groups to pose a threat to the Order of Etempus. I'd wondered about Hado's odd way of talking. Like a nobleman, like a man who'd spent his whole life surrounded by power. Was he Aramary himself? He had no mark. But maybe it was removable. Hado had infiltrated the group on the Aramary's behalf. He must have warned them that the lights were more dangerous than they seemed. But then, I turned to Hado. "Saruman," I said, "is she a spy too?"
"No," said Hado. "She's a traitor. If you can call anyone in this family that."
He shrugged.
"Remaking society is something of a tradition with Aramary. When they succeed, they get to rule. When they fail, they get death, as Saruman will learn soon."
"And Date? What is he, her unwitting pawn?"
"Dead, I hope. Aramary troops began attacking the House of the Risen Sun last night."
I gasped. He smiled.
"Your escape gave me the opportunity I'd been waiting for, lady. Though my role as Master of Initiates allowed me access to the Light's inner circle, I could not communicate beyond the House of the Risen Sun easily without rousing suspicion. Once Saruman turned out nearly the entire complement of lights to search for you, I was able to get word to certain friends who made sure the information reached the right ears."
He paused.
"The lights were right about one thing. The gods have ample cause to be angry with mortal kind, and the deaths of their kin have done little to endear us to them. The Aramary understand this, and so have taken steps to control the situation."
My hand on the tree's bark began to tremble. I had never realized the tree grew through the palace, integrated with its very substance. At the roots, its bark was rougher, with crevices deeper than the length of my hand. This bark,
High on the tree's trunk was fine-lined, almost smooth. I stroked it absently, seeking comfort. "Lord Aramary," I said. "Tavril Aramary, head of the family that ruled the world. Is that who you're taking me to see?"
"Yes."
I had walked among gods, wielded the magic they'd given my ancestors. I had held them in my arms, watched their blood coat my hands, feared them and been feared by them in turn. What was one mortal man to all that? "All right, then." I turned back to Hado, who offered me his arm. I walked past him without taking it, which caused him to shake his head and sigh. Then he caught up with me, and together we continued through the shining white corridors.